From points across California, you're listening to the Disneyland edition of the Diz Unplugged. This is the Diz Unplugged Disneyland edition, episode 459 for the week of June 21st, 2015. The Diz Unplugged Disneyland Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, helping you plan the perfect Disneyland vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. I am your host, Tom Bell, and I'm joined by my good friends, Mary Jo Malata Willie and Michael Bowling. Nancy and Tony are still traveling. And coming up on Tuesday, I take a look at the Best Western Plus Raffles Motel, and we talk about Disneyland for dads, more specifically Disneyland for non-Disney dads. But right now it's time for this week's news and roundtable rapid fire on this edition of the Diz Unplugged. Hello everyone. Hello to both of you.
Hi.
Hey there. Hi there. Ho there.
There we go.
I keep looking out my window here and I don't see any whales. It's so disappointing.
You have a window?
I do.
Wow.
Well, I'm still rocking a little bit, and I'm with you, Michael. There's nothing outside to be worth the rocking, you know?
Oh, yeah. So we just got back from the Diz Cruise to Alaska on the Jewel of the Seas, Royal Caribbean. Alaska is so beautiful.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, that's like any other cruise to me is boring because the everywhere you look in an Alaskan cruise, it's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And there's something to see. But we heard people were bored because I think they were people that were more beach people or wanted to do more water activities and things like that.
Right. It's definitely not that kind of cruise.
Yeah, not at all. But it was stunning. And you just never knew when you'd see wildlife out in the ocean, mm-hmm, or eagles flying above you. I mean, it was just magnificent.
I really don't know when there would have been time to be bored. I was busy all the time. It was just gorgeous.
You have people. But yeah, I mean, so for those of you on the West Coast, especially, whether it be the Royal Caribbean ship or the Disney Wonder in the summer, definitely look at Alaska because the travel time is less to get there.
Wasn't it nice not to have to fly across country?
And stay in the same time zone?
Yes.
We got home, we landed at 8 o'clock at night and came home and slept in our own bed.
Actually, this is the very first time I ever had to turn the clocks back to when I went anywhere. That was a novelty.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
The one hour that we did.
Except when we returned home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Alaska. It's our fourth time we've been there, and every time it's different because there's different animals, there's, mm-hmm, different waterfalls to look at or not. And, Alaska's constantly changing.
Yeah.
And so it's exciting every time we go. And the travel with so many great people. That was our first time we traveled with Dizzers, and that really made it 1,000 times better.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it was a smaller crew. There were, I think, 87 or 88 people, Dizzers on board. So you got a little more time with everyone. I got to meet lots of new people, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
What I thought was fun is when we were looking at the Sawyer Glacier and the Tracy Arm Fjord, mm-hmm, we were on our balcony, just leaning against the balcony, and there are Dizzers also looking out their balconies, so it was almost like a sorority, you know.
Yeah, we were all waving back and forth to each other.
Yeah,
nice. Between our balconies. Nice. Mm-hmm. But
you had a balcony. Never mind.
Yes, but and then all the harbor seals that were there in Tracy Arms.
Yeah.
And did you see the mothers with their pups sunning themselves, mm-hmm, on the ice and all that? Yeah, that was really really neat.
I know, right? I was just thinking, okay, if they're getting warm on the ice, how cold was that water that they were in?
Exactly. Really? Well, we went on one cruise once where the ship was told it couldn't enter Tracy Arms because the pups were too young to go into the water yet. And so they were worried the ships would frighten them and it'd go into the water and they wouldn't be ready for it.
Wow.
So we missed, Tracy Arms completely on our cruise day there. I mean, and so I don't think anyone was upset about it, but yeah, because I think that was a May cruise when we did that.
I will never go in May.
Yeah.
Because that was pretty awesome. And even though it was sad to hear the calving, to see the calving was pretty cool too.
Yeah. Yeah. What do they call that? Oh, what did Carol call white thunder? I think because you can hear it before you see it.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And then to see the bald eagles just flying around.
Mm-hmm.
I took so many pictures of bald eagles. I know I'm going to have to delete a ton of them, but we were so thrilled to see them. And Michael, you went up to a preserve, right?
Right. I went to Haynes Eagle Preserve when a lot of the Dizzers were on the Skagway, train.
Oh.
Right. And so I went over there, and I'd been there years ago, and we saw a lot of eagles because it's nesting time right now, and a lot of the eaglets have emerged from the eggs, but they're not popping their heads yet up over the nest. So we would see at least one eagle always in the nest, and then other eagles were out getting food or flying around, or there was also an eagle couple that. The eggs weren't successful this year, so they weren't in the nest anymore, but they were nearby it. And, and then we saw a mother moose and its bull calf. He was just getting his antlers.
Oh,
and so
oh
that
my gosh,
was
I would
cute.
Love to have seen
yeah.
that.
Yeah. And then later on, we saw a yearling moose, just sort of wandering around by the water's edge. But we saw a number of eagles in flight or standing, like at a sandbar or something in the water looking for fish, I guess.
And, of course, that amazing whale-watching excursion. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. That was like nothing I've ever seen before. We did – they said, what, there were 14 humpbacks?
Yeah.
And they did the bubble net.
Yeah.
And then in order to catch food, and when they came up, straight up, to eat the food. That was amazing. Yeah. So
what a spectacular experience to see that.
I know.
I sure hope somebody got a picture of that. I think somebody said Jack got a picture.
Yeah, and Dustin told me he thinks Pete got a photo as well.
Okay, cool.
I hope he shares them.
Yeah. It was incredible.
Just it was.
All of them together at once. Well, and that other one that like went under the boat.
Oh, yeah, the mother with her calf. And the little baby
picture,
was...
So.
Oh, great. Amy,
yay,
you have to share
everyone friend Amy on Facebook so you can see the picture.
But, and the calf was just leaping and jumping, and then they both went under the boat. That was great.
Yeah. So definitely you want to check out Alaska. I mean, talk to your Dreams Unlimited travel agent and book a trip to Alaska.
Yeah.
Tracy got an amazing deal for all of us. That's how we were able to go. And I mean, I'm 3 years old now, and all these years.
You're what?
You heard me. Or maybe you didn't.
Yeah, me too. That's tomorrow.
But I never really thought that I would ever go to Alaska, to tell you the truth. Yeah, and then when this deal came up, and the fact that I was able to share with two of my coworker friends was pretty darn cool. And another cool thing I saw is, we have a friend, Melissa, and she and Kristen met on an ABD tour, and now they travel together, and so that's how they went to Alaska, was they shared a room.
Well, this is our third time to Alaska. First two times were on the Wander.
Wow.
So 7 years ago, I guess it was, my thought was I don't want to go to Alaska because it's boring, but my wife wanted to go, so... At the D23 Expo, they announced that Disney was going to Alaska, but 8 years ago, I guess. And so then we booked a trip to Alaska because Disney was going. So
now people will be wondering, was it the trip significantly different between the Wonder and Jewel of the Sea?
The trip was slightly different because you leave out of Seattle instead of out of Vancouver. So the itinerary is different because the Jewel of the Seas leaving from a U.S. port has to stop in a foreign port. So it stops at Victoria, British Columbia instead of Ketchikan.
Mm-hmm.
And also the Disney ship, because it's leaving from Vancouver, it stays really close to the coast at some points, so it does more of the inside passage. So you see a lot of more, you know, land along the way. But otherwise...
And it's probably smoother then, too, right, Tom?
What's that?
It's probably also smoother then, because if you're staying an inside passage between the islands and the,
exactly.
and the mainland, you're not going to be out where the choppy seas are.
Yes.
That sounds cool. Okay, so you still had three ports?
Still had three ports, plus Tracy Arm.
Okay, because some people, they hit four ports in Tracy Arm.
Disney did Juneau, Ketchikan, and Skagway, plus Tracy Arm.
So between Ketchikan and Victoria, which would you like to go back to visit?
My wife says Victoria.
She says Victoria. Okay, yeah. So that was a good...
Of course, we've been to Ketchikan twice, so...
Okay.
Not a lot to do in Ketchikan.
No, I know when we've gone to Ketchikan, we've done things like ocean kayaking.
Yeah.
My son and I took a float plane over to a cannery, and then we went over and watched the bears feed on salmon. And that was great.
Yeah.
That was okay, that nice. I would like.
Yeah.
We went and saw totem poles. They have a totem pole park. But it's all recreated totem poles, so I was kind of disappointed.
Yeah, I want to see the authentic thing.
Yeah, exactly.
The one thing I did like, I thought in Skagway we were going to an Alaskan village to see sled dogs, where we really went to, it was in Skagway, and it was a gentleman who races. Mm-hmm. I still thought that was an interesting outing.
Yeah.
I thought it was fascinating hearing how they do these runs and all the work that goes into preparing the dogs and keeping them going during the trip, so... That we got a bunch of neat pictures, and one of my friends, I think it was Marty, got some good pictures of Skip with the dogs, and you know, as much as he loves greyhounds and everything, so we're going to share some of those. But it was amazing.
Yeah, but we love Victoria. I like gardening, so Boochuck Gardens was just spectacular. Nice. But we were practically sprinting through it because we didn't get a lot of time there, and then we had a wonderful high tea at the Empress.
We saw you. I think you were leaving as we were coming in.
Oh, how did you like it?
We loved it. That was my girlfriend Brenda. That was the one thing she wanted to do, and it was one of the highlights of our trip for us.
Yeah, and that's a meal. You know, if people balk at the price, just keep in mind it is a full meal by the time you're done.
We couldn't finish it.
No, we couldn't finish ours either.
Yeah,
and we had six people at our table, and we couldn't finish it.
So. Well, and I think one of the cool things they have there, too, is everybody gets, they give you enough to have a different, each person gets one different thing. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to pick and choose. You can all get whatever. So I thought that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they gave us tea to bring home.
Right. 10 bags.
Wow.
Yeah. Of tea. Yeah. Very nice.
So the Empress is a special blend that they do there at the hotel. So we get that. So we're. Renee and I both work together, so we're going to be drinking our tea at work and our spoot of tea.
Yes. But one of the highlights for us was actually in Seattle. We went near the Space Needle. We saw the Chihuly exhibit.
We saw it from the Space Needle. But yeah.
This is spectacular. If you're not familiar with Chihuly, if you've been to the Bellagio and you've seen that glass garden, that's his work. And in Las Vegas. And didn't the Fantasy or someone, they have?
No,
the Wonder.
The Magic.
The Wonder.
And used to be the one, or used to be the Magic, but the Wonder still has it.
Okay, yeah, they had the Chihuly chandelier.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's beautiful. But yeah, this exhibit was just amazing. He basically does the sculptures in glass. And then there were some movies there, little four-minute videos that showed the process and how he, like, makes the chandeliers, how he stages an exhibit in the garden and all this. I mean, it was really fascinating. One talked about his whole creative process and it was magnificent. And then they have this garden that's just filled with his sculptures and artwork. And it all looks like it's natural growing amongst the very lush landscaping. And I liked it so much that post-cruise we had through the ship a shore excursion where they took us on a tour of of Seattle and then dropped us off at the airport. Right. I told Carol, you need to see this exhibit. So we completely changed our plans and went back to the Chihuly exhibit. And then we went up into the Space Needle and then went to the airport. But, it would be worth a trip to Seattle just to see this exhibit.
I think so. And then instead of going to the Space Needle, my girlfriend had heard about the Columbia Center, which is that tall, tall black building.
Right.
It's the tallest observation deck on the West Coast. And so we went there. We went up to the 73rd floor. And that I have never been to a 73rd floor ever. And those elevators are going pretty darn fast. Yeah. So first we did the 40-foot Ferris wheel, which they were nervous about. That was fun. They were nervous in it, though.
They're at Parks Market?
Yes. Okay. Uh-huh. And then after that, we did the center. We watched the sunset from there. So we were looking down at the Space Needle.
Wow.
But I think from the Space Needle, you had the view of the public market for Pike's Market. We didn't see that sign. We saw the Ferris wheel, of course, and then we saw the Space Needle and beyond, which was really, yeah. It was a beautiful skyline. And we could see the baseball and football parks and the airport. And Mount Rainier, but you probably could see Mount Rainier too, right, from the Space Needle?
I don't know. I don't know if I could see it because it was kind of hazy.
Okay. Because we saw Mount Rainier and we saw Mount
Baker. I wouldn't have known where to look either, so.
I was poring over maps today to see where all these places that we went to.
We were supposed to see it on our drive to the airport and we couldn't see it, so it may have been hazy at that point.
Oh, I saw it today I left today. Mm-hmm. And Teresa says, yes, you can on a good day see Mount Rainier. Yeah, mm-hmm. And what I thought was cool, too, is I think you can see Mount Baker I know you can see it from the Columbia Center in Seattle, but you can also see it from Victoria. So we went on the hop off and on bus.
Very cool.
And we took a tour around. So there's a lot to do. Yeah. It's just so pretty.
Yeah. All right, so if you want to join Deserts on a Cruise, I think there's still availability. No group space left, but still some good deals to be had on Podcast Cruise 6.0. Time is running out, though, because I think there was a Royal Caribbean special that was expiring at the end of this month. Don't quote me on that, but check with Tracy. She'll hook you up. This is December, not this December, but next December 2016, a cruise on the Oasis of the Seas. This is a Western Caribbean. Contact Tracy, TRACEYH, at dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. She'll give you all the details about that. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about some housekeeping. On the show last week, which nobody was on except me, I talked about, in the news, a tax break that was proposed to encourage builders to build four diamond hotels. Mm-hmm. This was a tax break where the hotel owner would keep like 75% of the bed tax. Well, currently the only four diamond hotels out there in the area are the Grand and the Disneyland Hotel. So I heard from a listener who told me that, or suggested that, Disney was behind this. They want to build another upscale hotel, and they want to save some money on it. So, needless to say, of course, this bed tax passed last week. So, or this proposal passed against the better wishes of the mayor. So, if Disney builds a new hotel, they get to keep 75%. Of Four Diamond Hotel, they get to keep 75% of their bed tax for up to, I think it was 20 years. So a long, long time, which is really, really interesting.
Yeah. Well, in the original plans, expansion plans, when they went from Westcott to California Adventure and then slashing budgets, there were plans for two hotels,
right?
Disney hotels. And then it got cut back to one.
Yeah.
So could be maybe now they're dusting off the plans for the second hotel.
Yeah. Anybody else have anything in housekeeping?
I have a couple of things.
Go ahead.
Well, a few weeks ago, we mentioned in the news that a family was walking from Disneyland to Walt Disney World to honor their daughter, Julia, who had passed away from childhood cancer. And they did on Saturday, yesterday on the day we're recording this, they took their final steps on the 4,000-mile journey and arrived in Walt Disney World. That was her very favorite place to visit. And the family's mission in this, just to remind folks, was helping families through their foundation that they called JuCan, J-U, which is short for Julia, and in cancer, and named after their 8-year-old daughter, Julia, who passed away 2 years ago. And along the way, they located as many families as they could to raise pediatric awareness and try to meet families that, you know, now have a child who's battling cancer. So what was really nice, though, is that when they arrived in Disney World, the father, Jonathan Cobb, had the last Father's Day card Julia made for him. And on the front of the card was Walt Disney's quote, "If you can dream it, you can do it."
Wow.
And he said that's because Julia was always focused on what she could do. And so, so that's why we call her Jew canned, because she was focused on the can part of cancer. So, and now what their goal is that, you know, they started a foundation and they want to build a Jew can castle in Houston where parents can stay while their children are being treated at the hospital. So, nice. So congratulations to them and for turning a tragedy into something really positive.
Right, right.
And giving hope, you know, to families who are battling this disease. So, and then, for those of you, you know, this summer we've been talking about it, the D23 Expo is coming upon us. Well, we talked earlier about the, discount ticket prices, and they're ending June 30th. So just as a reminder, this is happening August 14th to 16th at the Anaheim Convention Center, and it's basically Disney's Comic-Con. And so the tickets go up on July 1st. So right now, you know, an adult, a one-day ticket is $58. A three-day ticket is $169 if you're a D23 member. Well, that'll go up to $65 for a one-day ticket and $188 for a three-day ticket. And it's even more if you're not a member.
And there's no reason for you not to be a member, because you can be a free member and get the discounted tickets.
Right. And if you do get, are at the level where you get the magazine, it's all about the 60th anniversary this month. But there's some really cool stuff to see. Some of the things they've announced, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars will all be doing presentations. Here's one. Frozen Fandemonium, a musical celebration. The songwriting team of Kristen Anderson Lopez and Robert Lopez, who wrote the music, are going to do a once-in-a-lifetime musical journey through the world of Frozen. And remember, one of the things we enjoyed the most was the Disney on Broadway performance at the last D23 Expo. They're doing it again. And they're going to be featuring the stars of Broadway's Aladdin, Mary Poppins, and Tarzan. And that was fantastic last time. Walt Disney and Pixar Animation Studios are going to be looking at their upcoming films like Zootopia, Moana, The Good Dinosaur, and Finding Dory. And they're going to be looking at Aladdin, because it's celebrating an anniversary this year. And Walt Disney Records is going to have a concert celebrating the Silly Symphonies. The Disney Channel's having a whole lot of people there you've never met or heard of. unless you're under 13 or something. And Pete is most excited because Doc McStuffins will be there. Walt Disney Archives, their presentation this year is Disneyland the Exhibit. Yes. They're going to have more than 300 classic and contemporary objects there to celebrate the 60th anniversary. Of course, our favorite, the D23 Expo Dream Store, with all kinds of stuff there. And we already talked about the D23 Expo Design Challenge and Masquerade Costume Contest. And then there's going to be a ton more stuff.
And also, if we missed anything, I did an interview with Jeffrey Epstein that went up last week, and so he's got lots and lots more details. So
That was just to whet your appetite.
Exactly.
So get your tickets, and the Diz will be there for the first time. That's worth the price of admission alone.
I think so. You get to meet Kevin and John. Also, Dreams Unlimited Travel is going to have a booth there too. Tracy's going to be in town.
So it'll be fun.
Okay, so for the first time, I don't get to mention Coasting for Kids, but I'm going to mention it anyway. Thanks again to everyone who donated, who participated, and what was the total, Mary Jo? $18,800-something?
Very close to that.
Yeah.
So, wow. You know better than I
That's
do, but...
That's wonderful.
We will see you all next year. I will start bugging you in, what was it, February or March of 2016. Do it all.
I think you started in February this year, but it's so... Who was it that they were saying 98% of the proceeds go to the children, go to the families?
It's a really high percentage.
Yeah,
only 2%. Somebody was saying 5%, but I heard from somebody else it was only 2%.
It's in that range. It's 3, 4, 5%. But still,
When you compare it to other charities, when you hear about how this place gives hope, there's been children who've had remissions because of their experiences here. It's just a wonderful, wonderful place. So thank you everybody who donated. And we'll get ready for next year.
And Tom, good job just organizing it and getting everyone involved and getting our spirit going with this.
I appreciate that. Thank
you. I mean, you did a lot of work for this.
And it's fun. I mean, it's just a fun thing, and I'm glad we were able to have we have 70-something deserves participate. Thanks again to Justine out in Pennsylvania who organized things out there. They had, I think, 23 Dizzers riding there at Dorney Park. So they actually had the biggest team. For a while, it was going to be the Knott's Berry Farm team, but they beat us by like three Dizzers.
Oh, they did beat us?
We had way more money, though.
It's all for the kids, though.
Yep, exactly. Got to say hello to our friends in the chat room on Mixlr.com. If you want to listen to us live, we broadcast live finally again, every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Pacific. And you can listen to us live and chat with everybody else who's listening live. We'll have links on our show notes page or watch our Facebook page for a link to our Mixlr site. If you want to get a hold of us, you can email us at dlpodcast@wdwinfo.com. And, of course, links to everything we talk about is at www.disunplug.com. Anything else in housekeeping?
I have a quick something.
Go ahead.
The Wednesdays with Walt is continuing through July, and I just wanted to bring everybody's attention to it again because now, this week, they're going to be talking... Wednesday it's going to be Zorro, the postponed wedding. But then July 1st, they're going to start a Disneyland series. So July 1st is going to be Disneyland USA. Uh-huh. So I think they might be a little bit more crowded.
Yeah.
If you're planning on going, go ahead and get your tickets. But this is Wednesdays, I believe it's 7 p.m. I know that Dina's gone to a few of them.
It's for annual pass holders only, correct?
Right.
Annual pass holders only. A little something-something for the pass holders.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's head over to me with the news. Sorry.
Take it away, Tom.
This is a sad story. This is from while we were on the cruise, or actually right before. A 10-year-old girl found unconscious after riding a roller coaster at Six Flags Magic Mountain. This was actually the Revolution. Died of natural causes unrelated to the coaster. And no autopsy will be performed, according to the LA County Coroner's Office.
What kind of natural causes would a 10-year-old die from?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Official said she was found unconscious but breathing after riding Revolution about 4 p.m. on Friday the 12th. She was flown by helicopter to Northridge Hospital Medical Center and died the following day. The child's family objected to an autopsy because of her religious preferences, so none will be performed, according to the coroner's office. So without an autopsy, no cause of death can be determined. The 10-year-old's parents released a statement that was published in the Ventura County Star, expressing their thanks to the community and their love for their daughter. State investigators determined that the cause was unrelated to the operation of the ride, and it was reopened. So I mean, it's just sad. I mean, those things happen, but you know, some people will go on rides knowing they have conditions, and but then there's others that have something wrong and don't know it and go on a ride, and it's just, yeah, not much you can do about it. Not much that Six Flags could do about it.
Yeah, right. What a tragedy,
yeah,
though.
All right, so let's go back to Anaheim politics. A growing deficit for Anaheim's new transit station, which is the Arctic, will be covered by a special fee guests pay when staying in hotels near the convention center and the resort. About $4 million was allocated recently by a little-known three-member board that oversees what's called the Anaheim Tourism Improvement District. And they collect a 2% assessment on hotel bills in the resort area. So of the $4 million, $2.1 million will be cover the operating deficit for Arctic in the first 7 months of operation, which ended this month. So in 7 months, Arctic has lost $2 million. And then, of course, the remaining money is going to be set aside in case they still are operating in a deficit for the rest of the year. Because this three-member board oversees all of this, city council approval is not required, which is really interesting. The funds were set up for transportation, according to Fred Brown, who serves as the chairman, but they weren't really planning on using the funds for this purpose. They're hoping that Arctic can survive on its own after propping up with this $4 million. Before Arctic opened, city officials had hoped that the operating costs would be covered by advertising, naming rights, which hasn't happened, tenant leases, which haven't happened. So they're kind of struggling a little bit right now, which is kind of sad because it's a beautiful building. But, you know, there's all these restaurants that keep saying coming soon, and they're not coming. And, of course, like you said, the naming rights – nobody's picked up the naming rights for the venue. I think, I don't know. I posted a picture on Twitter the other couple times ago when I was there. There are still things that aren't done there. Like the elevators that take you from the train platform up to the bridge to go into the terminal still have plywood floors.
Huh.
And, you know, 6-7 months later, there's still plywood floors that haven't been completed yet. So I don't know what's going on with that, if it's bad management or what. But, I mean, they can't – I don't know where their money really would be coming from unless – well, I'm assuming they're getting rent money from Amtrak, Greyhound, things like that. But it's such a big – I think it's one of those things, kind of like our baseball stadium here, where they built it and then they don't have the money to maintain it and pay for it, and the city's having to bail them out.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. But that's just my opinion.
Sounds right.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. So $2.1 million worth.
So this board isn't raising the resort.
No.
Tax fee. They're just appropriating more of it.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So instead of doing something new with the money, they're having to bail out Arctic.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if that ever is profitable.
Right. Well, Amtrak isn't profitable, is it?
No, I'm trying to think. No, I think it's still getting federal funding.
Yeah, exactly.
I know certain routes are self-sufficient, but overall,
yeah,
I think it's still struggling.
Yeah. All right, and that is the news. Time for rapid fire. Let's start with Michael.
Okay, well, when I'm not in Alaska or Disneyland, one of my favorite places I like to be is the Walt Disney Family Museum. And there is a really an interesting exhibit coming up beginning in July. And that is the Disney and Dolly, Architects of the Imagination. So this is presented by the Walt Disney Family Museum and the Salvador Dali Museum, which is in St. Petersburg, Florida. So they're doing this together. This is going to be running from July 10th, 2015 through January 3rd, 2016, the Walt Disney Family Museum. And then for our friends out in Florida, the Dolly Museum will then have this this exhibit from late January through June of 2016. So this is guest curated by filmmaker Ted Nicolau, and you may know him from, for the past 15 years, he did the DVD and Blu-ray bonus documentaries for Walt Disney Home Entertainment and special features for Disneyland and Walt Disney World. If you got the Fantasia and Fantasia 2000 Blu-ray, there was a feature-length documentary, Dolly and Disney, A Date with Destino, and it was about a very unlikely friendship and cooperation that was between Walt Disney and Salvador Dali. And so this, the short film that Salvador Dali and Disney were doing together was never completed, but then Roy Disney helped fund it so that it was completed. And then, and it was on the Fantasia, and Fantasia 2000 Blu-ray. It's also on YouTube. You can look for it there. So what this is going to do, it's going to present a lot of original paintings, story sketches, conceptual artwork, objects, correspondences, archival film, photographs, and audio, highlighting the work from Disney's studio artists, along with the work of Salvador Dali, and really comparing and contrasting two very different people who were drawn to each other. And they had very unique personalities, but they had an enduring friendship. And so this exhibit is going to explore all of that. So I think this is going to be really fascinating. So come on out to the Walt Disney Family Museum if you're coming out to Disneyland for, you know, its 60th anniversary. It's just a couple hours flight up to San Francisco. Go to the museum from July 10th through January 3rd to see this exhibit.
Very cool. Thank you, Michael. Mary Jo.
Just a couple of little ones. First of all, Pandora is going to be playing music that's inspired by the Diamond Celebration at Disneyland. So that's going to be going on through August 31st. Just check out Disneyland Resort Diamond Celebration to get the song from Pandora. They're not all Disney songs, but...
Well, I was going to mention to you, everything I'm hearing is there are a lot of complaints that they're not playing any Disney songs.
Wow. And they weren't playing any, but...
Yeah, and so people are hoping they're going to start, but they're playing contemporary music on it that maybe has a summer theme or something like that, or a celebration kind of theme, but not Disney.
So is Disney getting some kind of kickback by saying that they're inspiring the music on Pandora? How does that work?
I would think so. I don't think they could use the image, because aren't they using the logo on that Pandora station? Disney. So, yeah, Disney's must be getting something out of it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to listen to it anyway, because it's supposed to be dazzling music from the Diamond Celebration. So, okay. Everything is bedazzled at Disneyland Resort right now. Mm-hmm. And the other one I was going to just quickly mention is that there's a lot of merchandise coming to both Disneyland and Walt Disney World. And for us, the one thing that's going to be kind of cool is the Disney theme park holiday ornaments. This year they're going to have
Mickey and Minnie. It's June.
It's never too early to start talking about Christmas.
I bet if we go to Costco right now, there's Christmas decorations for sale.
I agree. Well, they're gonna be putting out there's Mickey and Minnie in their traditional garb. A little bit, if I say it again, dazzled, kind of sparkly. That says Disneyland on the actual ornament. And then they have Epcot and the other parks, but, you know, we don't care about those for right now. But the Disneyland park's going to be, it's a real pretty one. So just wanted to bring that to your attention for those who like to shop early for those gift giving or for yourselves.
Very cool. All right. So while we were in Alaska, a new movie opened called Inside Out, Disney Pixar movie, and there are some new menu items at Award Wieners that are, I get to say Award Wieners, inspired by Inside Out, now in theaters. The Jubilant Joy Dog, which is sweet Italian sausage, bell peppers, lettuce, and cheddar cheese, topped with honey mustard, relish, chopped bacon, and crispy onions on a hoagie roll. I don't like any
Dear
of that. Dear
Lord. I was thinking you should say what's not on it.
This one might, I don't know if this sounds much better. The spicy angry hot dog, which is a spicy hot link topped with jalapenos, onions, bell peppers, pepper jack cheese, sriracha ketchup on a jalapeno cheddar bun.
I would recommend that for a first date meal.
Yes, exactly. And to wash it down, of course, is the Joyful Splash, which is Sprite along with citrus and vanilla, or the Spicy Fearless Lemonade, which is Minute Maid lemonade with pear, chipotle, pineapple, and ginger ale.
I don't think I'm going to have any of this.
I think I might try that one, the lemonade with pear, chipotle, pineapple, and ginger ale, maybe. Anyway, so that's at Award Wieners. And then, of course, the... Now there is a Inside Out pre-parade. I'm not sure if we talked. We may have talked about this in front of the Pixar Play Parade. So every afternoon at 5:15, probably maybe 5 o'clock, there is an Inside Out float celebrating the new movie prior to the Pixar Play Parade at Disney California Adventure. So that is very cool.
The Chowderati who've seen Inside Out say it's a great film. They really liked it.
Okay.
Kelly saw it also, and she loved it. And she said it made her cry, though. Aww. So,
I'm so behind on my movies. I need to see that. I talked about seeing Cinderella on the ship, but I didn't see that either. So,
no, I was going to, and I didn't see it.
Then I was.
We were busy that night. I think I was dancing that night. So
you were dancing a lot of the nights.
Yeah, it was fun. I was dancing by myself, but it was fun.
It's a single ladies dance.
Yes. I saw you down on the dance floor
for the 70s?
Yeah, for the 70s night, yeah.
That was fun. They taught us a whole line. They taught us 4 line dances.
Wow.
Skip's dad, Doug, he was there, and another friend, our table mate, Trish, she was there. We went to the line dances and we were ready, but it was wall-to-wall people. All we could do was basically jump up and down and wave our arms. So
that's how I dance.
I'm happy to say that everybody had their deodorant on. Nice. So it was, but it was cool. They use those elevators as go-go cages for the dances.
Oh, really? Elevators?
No wonder you can't get anywhere.
Yeah.
Right.
They stopped them. The 2 interior elevators that overlook the center area. They stopped them on level 5, and they were, man,
oh, no wonder.
Shaking their
groupings. That was one thing that was interesting about the ship is there was a forward elevators that nobody used, but then the other elevators were just in the middle. There was no aft set of elevators, so everything was grouped around the center set of elevators.
So, is it because it's a smaller ship that they did that? Because that's one of the things I noticed that was different on the Jewel of the Seas than any of the Disney ships. On the Disney ships, you have 3 vertical access in the front, aft, and in the middle. Yeah. And so you could go anywhere. And here we would have to, you know, go to the center, then go up and stuff like that.
I mean, everything was pretty bunched around the center, so it wasn't a big deal. But trying to get an elevator at times when there was only, like at that night, 4 elevators available was a little troublesome.
Yeah, I tended to use the steps when chairs and steps, the stairs whenever I could. So yeah,
only when I'm going down. All right, anybody have anything else? Are we good?
Mm-hmm.
Good. All right, that is going to do it for us for this week. And I'm trying to find my script. That sucks. I scrolled and lost my script. All right. Again, thank you, folks.
You're scriptless?
Yeah, I'm scriptless. Again, thank you, folks in Mixler. Thank you, Mary Jo. Thank you, Michael. Again, happy Father's Day to those fathers out there. If you're listening live, if you are listening
on. Oh, I want to say that.
Okay, go ahead.
Happy Father's Day to all of you fathers here on the show, to Tom and Michael especially, and to all of you who are listening today, and to our other listeners. Happy Father's Day to all of you.
Thank you. And to Tony, who couldn't be with us tonight.
Exactly. And to Tony.
Yep. All right. Thanks. That is going to do it for this segment of The Diz Unplugged. Be sure to catch all of our other Disneyland shows this week. And, of course, we'll be back again with you next week. Until then, remember, Disneyland is always more magical when it's shared. Thanks for listening.